The solution to the European debt crisis is only as strong as its weakest link.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. European leaders are meeting today in Brussels to try and move forward on a new treaty, one that would force European countries to keep their budgets in order. But as usual, things are not going exactly as planned. And this morning, that is thanks to Greece. Jan-Marc Vallehue is co-founder of Clarinvest Asset Management Fund, and he's with us now from Geneva, Switzerland, to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Well, first of all, just tell me if I've got this right. So European leaders, they're meeting in Brussels today, and the focus was supposed to be on this new treaty that forces countries to get their deficits under control. But none of that really matters until Greece makes a deal with its lenders so it can get more bailout money. Is that all correct?
Yes, absolutely. For the last maybe 4 weeks to a month, the Greek issue was off the radar. It was pretty much a done deal that the restructuring of the debt would go through. But unfortunately, as we are getting closer to the major deadline of the March 14 debt payment, we still have no deal. So therefore, all other news headlines have been pushed back, and the central issue right now coming back to the forefront is the Greek negotiations.
And so when this summit that is going on in Brussels is over, where are we going to be that's different from where we are now?
Well, I don't think this will be the end of the summits. European leaders have a history of enjoying the summits. So therefore, we'll have some more of those. This one will not solve anything. It might get them closer together, but looking at what's going on with the Greek negotiations, they can't get everybody to agree, so it's a difficult time.
Jan-Marc Vallehue is co-founder of Clarinvest Asset Management Fund, speaking with us from Geneva. Jan-Marc, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Well, as the debt crisis has lingered in Europe, businesses there have been unable to get loans from banks, which are worried about losses. And now a small British manufacturing company has found a novel solution to that credit crunch, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
No liquidity problems for this factory. Molten chocolate fairly pours down the production line, partly thanks to the new line of credit, the chocolate bond.
Our customers advance us some money, and while we're using the money that they've loaned us, we repay the interest to them in chocolate.
Angus Thirlwell of Hotel Chocolat offers his 100,000 mail-order customers a mouth-watering investment opportunity. Lend us $3,000 and we'll send you six large boxes of high-quality chocolate a year.
It deepens the relationship with our customers. And if I had a choice of who I'm going to pay interest to, a big bank or my lovely customers, well, it's an easy choice.
So far, his company has raised more than $7 million in this way to buy new machinery and expand its cocoa estate on the Caribbean island of St. Lucia. Anne Avis in London is one enthusiastic investor.
I'm a customer and I'm buying the chocolates anyway. And then to get paid almost a 7% return in chocolates when you stick the money in the bank, you barely get 3%, just seemed like a great idea.
And it's an even sweeter deal for Hotel Chocolat. The bond may yield almost 7% for the investor, but it obviously costs the company much less. And, says Angus Thirlwell, it does combat the credit crunch.
We're not subject to the vagaries of whether banks feel positive or negative about the overall economic outlook. We're more secure, more ring-fenced in a nice relationship with our own customers.
No worries about investors losing their appetite for this debt, he says. The interest on this loan will always be pretty tempting. Debt that doesn't leave a bitter taste, although it might add a few pounds to the customer's bottom line. In Huntingdon, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in overseas trading this morning, about 1% lower in Frankfurt and Paris, 1.5% lower in Hong Kong. On Wall Street on Friday, the Dow fell 74 points to close at 12,660.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, combining email marketing and social media for more customers and more time back on the clock. Learn more at ConstantContact.com. By The Economist, presenting its third annual Ideas Economy Innovation event on March 28th in Berkeley, California. More information at innovation.economist.com. And by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com.
We're coming up on a year since the Fukushima nuclear disaster in Japan, and since then, we haven't really heard much about new nuclear power plants going up anywhere, until now. As soon as this week, regulators are expected to greenlight construction of two new nuclear power reactors in Georgia. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Troe reports.
The U.S. hasn't had a new nuclear reactor in more than 30 years, not since the Three Mile Island meltdown. Matthew Bunn at the Harvard Kennedy School says that changed the industry.
Costs escalated through the roof, and public support has not been that great.
It's been tough to raise the billions needed for new reactors. The Georgia project will be run by a utility called the Southern Company. It got a financial boost from government subsidies.
The hope was to replace dirty coal with cleaner nuclear.
Was the hope. Sam Jaffe at IDC Energy Insights says the Georgia nuclear plant is a straggler from old policy, not the start of a new trend, because the entire utility industry has a new focus.
We're quickly heading towards one single generation source, which is natural gas.
Natural gas is cheap right now. Power plants that use it are not hard to build. And while there are public concerns over how we get that natural gas, namely fracking, people still don't fear that as much as a nuclear meltdown. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And finally to Middleton, Wisconsin, home of the National Mustard Museum, which is in a bit of a financial squeeze right now. According to the Wisconsin State Journal, the museum is having some trouble paying back a $178,000 loan to Dane County. The collateral for the loan is the museum's prized mustard collection. The county would rather not go down that road, so it's giving the museum a little extra time to catch up on its payments. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Business news. It's not all banks, budgets, and bottom lines, you know. At Marketplace, we think it can be lots of things, like...
So, maybe you've heard of the Kardashians.
iPhone and iPad app.
Christian Dior.
Wine.
We Fit.
Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
The NFL.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Whether you need news or the numbers or just a good laugh, join us next time for Marketplace, the business show for the rest of us. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.